come to managing distributed software development teams, we have to keep in mind that there could most likely be multiple geographic locations involved in this case. And today, software development teams are distributed across the globe for any reputable large organization. And this has become the norm versus close physical interaction between the teams. Now, what happens when there are geographical locations, there are different time zones, different languages, different cultures? So, there would be a very diverse individual personality to the various team members. So, you would have a very eclectic bunch of team members who are thrown in together. Now, thanks to broadband, it allows people across to connect and people to connect from home. And through acquisitions and mergers, dispersed teams are beginning to work together in a way that they can align themselves to this common goal and align themselves to the common team objective. And some teams may work in groups of two or three in the same office, while others may work individually in separate offices. Some may work every day, some may rarely see others, and some may actually never meet physically. Some may not even meet through video conferencing, may just be aware through chats or through your emails, etc., that you know the other person is working on this aspect of the project. And distributed development teams have now become a norm. And this raises some questions. Can such teams develop as good software packages as teams which are in a central location where everyone is working on the same location? And the answer to this is actually yes. They are effectively coordinating, communicating, and using teams and techniques, and their team heads and their project managers are leading them in a way that today the world knows that these dispersed teams working across the globe are actually coming up with software products, with operating systems, with apps, etc., which are at par, if not superior, to anything being created by teams entirely at the same location. And hence, it becomes very, very important for them to stay constantly connected through conference calls, through emails. One of the other very important modes is threaded discussions, because as I keep mentioning back, very often in teams, it is important that key discussions are referred back to. There will not always be a formal circular or a document which is created for it, or a docket which is created for it. So you will need to refer to threaded discussions. And better than email, threaded discussion tools focus debates and specific issues and save the dialogue for later use. So you can refer back to it at any point of time. Instant messaging has become a very important tool for more interactive than email, and it is very easy for asking a quick question. Response in that is also very, very speedy. Web conferencing is another way where presentations, interactive planning, reviews, brainstorming can happen. One has been part of so many reviews and strategic planning where web conferencing has been used, which is extremely cost effective, and it doesn't really, in this day of connectivity, doesn't really create any other issue versus people being physically present on the same location. And when real-time communication is needed, conference calls can be significantly enhanced with web conferencing, because it is an interactive tool. It is not just two-dimensional. It is multi-dimensional, where people can ask each other questions, where multiple participants can view multiple participants, and it is not two participants just talking to each other at any point of time. And depending on the software, web conferencing products may include collaborative features like whiteboarding, file sharing, cooperative editing, and depending on the bandwidth availability, teams may also want to consider emerging technologies as voice over IP also, which also is by all large organizations and all large software development teams seem to be using this as well. Now, there is also shared repositories on projects. Developers must share many of the assets used to specify, design, implement and test the software. So, for this reason, earlier limitations like network bandwidth or the tool themselves prevented remote developers from having direct access to the same repositories. But now, they are being able to use these, and they are being used by developers operating behind the corporate. Anyone can, from in the same team, can use these shared repositories now. Most software management tools are internet enabled, and earlier the corporate firewall prevented common access to team members, but now with a reliable bandwidth, all team members of a software development team are being able to tap into the shared repository which is there. And this makes it increasingly feasible for all team members to share common information and be up to date with information, which again is a huge aspect of communication and smoothing out conflict and project success. Now for requirements, requirement management, formal requirement specifications, dependencies and changing histories. There is source code management, where versioned file assets such as design document files, sources code and binary files are uploaded. You have change management like bug reports, new feature requests, defect tracking, which keep everyone updated. It's a centralized system where all team members, regardless of whether they have worked on that specific aspect or not, can tap into it and stay updated instead of waiting for a circular to come to them or instead of waiting for a meeting to happen or a web conference to happen. And project management, project schedules, tasks, breakdown, work assignments, test plan, test cases, all test results, all of these can be as part of shared repositories. And such tools allow integrated collaborative features such as threaded discussions and peer-to-peer messaging. And again, with threaded discussion, as I mentioned earlier, they become a very useful tool for referring back versus documents and dockets being created. And this leads to team harmonization, team synchronization. No matter which country you are sitting in, which time zone you are sitting in, what language you are speaking, everyone is up to date and everyone has the same information. It is not that there is someone sitting in a certain location has an unfair advantage by having privilege or more information than someone in another location. All team members are kept at par. Large projects and large project teams may require access to many such corporate resources, and they can benefit from resource portals. And instead of having scattered basis of information everywhere, there is a centralized information source which is very, very useful in software development teams. Now, when it comes to reviews, we all talk about appraisals, we all talk about reviews, we all talk about taking stock. Then periodic design and code reviews are as good, are good to keep tabs on remote developers' processes. So instead of having formal reviews where everyone comes down to a similar location, these code reviews done in this virtual world can also serve the purpose. And in order to keep them from feeling singled out, they should participate in reviews of other team members also. So if you are using these cost-effective and technologically advanced modes, then you can also participate in reviews of other members and learn from the outcomes of those reviews as well. On-site visits, though few and far, when there are teams geographically scattered all over the place, is still very useful. Teams shouldn't forget the importance of periodically inviting remote developers to the headquarters, because they will feel valued, they will feel important, they will not feel like, okay, while we are part of this one team virtually, really actually physically we are forgotten in a small little country versus the headquarter, fancy headquarter in this big country, in this, you know, in the developed part of the world, and we are completely alien to that. We are nameless, faceless people, just some developers here. So on-site visits, if you from time to time, call in developers from remote location, is a huge motivational tool and a huge communication tool as well. And also, remote developers appreciate people from headquarters taking time out and coming down to their site and looking up the way their life works as well. Presentations are very important. Remote team members can periodically share their work online. Training sessions can also happen online. Customer presentations can happen online. Now, the way I am talking about these modules to you in the virtual world, you and I have not met. You are going to look at this module and this discussion on your intranet and learn from it. Likewise, so much training can happen online, and which can lead to skill enhancement and communication as well with geographically spread out teams. Blogging, web blogging or blogging is the press of instant publishing to a web page. Blogs typically contain short messages that follow a chronological order, and blogs as created by individuals wishing to chronicle daily work. So while you may have entertainment blogs and other lifestyle blogs all over, within an organization with a software development team, blogs could actually be a very, very effective way in terms of people sharing their thoughts, sharing their ideas, and people contributing in a chronological way, and everyone having access to this blog. And it is in a maintenance phase of a project, when there are critical problems, there are glitches, there are technical glitches, there are obstacles, blogging becomes very important then, because maybe someone else sitting in another location who's facing a similar problem can go through the history of the blog and see someone else having blogged about it, shared a problem and seen the resolution as well. So it becomes a very good way of learning from other people's lessons and experiences and shared ideas. And one can staff up the teams in different geographical locations and make use of time differences to distribute the workload and hence ease the pressure on the engineers. So definitely time zone differences, different work hour shifts, etc. can help spread out the work so that no one is getting overstretched, no one is getting overworked, and there is a balanced spread of the work across people. So for an example, if a part of a team is in the US, and part in India, the US engineers can work on a problem during the day and then the Indian engineers can work on the problem maybe in a later shift, so that by the time the US engineers wake up the next day, they have the resolution, and possibly the people who are working the night shift in whichever country may be taking the time off during the day as well. So things can work seamlessly. Now moving on to motivation theory. What is motivation? It's a driving force that causes the flux from a desire to eat, or motivation is shown to have roots in physiological, behavioral and social areas. So it is the push, it is the thrill of getting something done. Now there are various theories of motivation, and motivation is what will help you to gain cooperation of the team. And as we had said, that project managers need to be amateur psychologists, they need to understand these motivation theories. Now there are various beliefs in motivation, so let's touch upon some of those theories and what those beliefs are. So first of all, coming to McGregor's theory of X and Y. So he believes that primarily there are two kinds of attitudinal people there. People X, who generally don't like work and are demotivated by work, and people cannot be trusted. And so obviously you need to be that much firmer with them and push them that much. And category Y people, where people are motivated, people can be trusted, people don't need to be pushed that much, they just need to be encouraged and facilitated. So if a project manager uses theory X, which is more of the crack the whip theory, then you may get poor results, because you are working on people's fears rather than working on people's positive motivation and encouragement and their trust and the loyalty factor. So an average person, as per theory X, dislikes works and will avoid it. Versus if you come to theory Y, of theory people who are in the Y category, they are willing to work without supervision and want to achieve. So you are playing on the positive motivation. So if a project manager uses theory Y, then he is actually being a facilitator and a mentor who is looking at the positive, the loyalty, the trust factor, the motivation and the self-responsibility in these individuals. So theory Y is a Y category strategy is better than your theory X category strategy. Moving on to Maslow's theory of need. He has a very interesting pyramid, and according to that pyramid, the highest level, your basic level, is your need for survival and need for eating, and the highest level is your need for self-actualization. And according to him, people will first satisfy the most basic need and then move on to the next need. So he has a motivation which is driven by need. Most basic needs are inborn and have to be satisfied first before you reach a higher level of satisfaction. So if you have to simply look at his pyramid, Maslow's pyramid, then this is his pyramid, where you have a basic psychological need of food, shelter, clothing, then safety, where there is job security, family and physical safety. Then social acceptance, in terms of your basic needs of shelter, food having been met. Now you need affection, friendship, colleagues. So you're looking for a status. Then there is a need for self-esteem, respect, recognition in the world. And finally you have self-actualization, where all of your basic needs are met and you are purely living for the purpose of the highest reason, which is you are very, very satisfied, you are in a very sublime phase, and you are there is self-actualization, and you are working to contribute positively and purely for this need, because all your other needs are met. So if you are going by this motivational theory, then actually you want everyone to gravitate towards the need for self-actualization or the need for self-esteem and respect and recognition, because perhaps your team members' basic three pyramidal needs are met. So you want to drive people towards that topmost need of self-actualization, where everything has been met, all other needs have been met, and now you are purely working to contribute positively and for your own personal satisfaction and for growth, not for satisfying any other need whatsoever. Then you have Herzberg's theory, where he basically believes that inherently people like to work and are motivated to work purely for the joy of the work itself. So if you are working purely for the job satisfaction and for the joy of the work, then it is a very good motivational theory, where that itself, the work itself, will drive you. And those where the job dissatisfied deals with factors which define the job context. Moving on to Auchi's theory. Auchi's theory referred to the Japanese management style, lays a lot of trust and faith in the workers and gives them a lot of autonomy, trust and faith. So it is again a very positively placed theory, which is looking at all the positives of workers. Then you have the expectancy theory, which says that people respond better to the possibility of recognition, appreciation and reward rather than to the negative of fear and punishment. So they will perform better in anticipation of a reward rather than in fear of punishment. So again, it is pushing the positive, facilitating the positive rather than the negative. Moving on to the David McLellan theory. This is a theory which focuses primarily on achievement motivation, power motivation and affiliation motivation, where in achievement motivation, a person is motivated to seek achievement. In power, a person is motivated by the need to acquire power, by a power thrill. And in the affiliation motivation, a person is looking for friendly relationships, is looking for bondings and for acceptance from the environment around him. So these are the various kind of motivations which drive people, according to David McLellan. The Oldman-Hackman job characteristics models bases satisfaction on 5 factors. It talks about task identity, the degree to which the results are identified as belong to you, task significance, does your job have influence on others, skill variety, the number of different skills that the job holder has the opportunity to exercise, autonomy, the discretion you have about the way you do your job, and the feedback, the information you get back about the results of your work. So these are the 5 foundation pillars of the Oldman-Hackman job characteristics model, which lead to motivating a team person or not. Now, having touched upon these various motivational theories, of course, a project manager has to use his or her own instinct to drive motivation in a team member. What works for the team member more? Different team members will have different motivating factors. One of them may be happier with flexible working hours because it gives him a better balance with his personal life. One may only be driven by money, 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 in which case rewards is what works better for the person. One may have more of a power high. One may have more of an affiliation high. So as we have seen, there are different kind of theories, different kind of psychological arguments about these. So there are ways in which motivation can be improved as well. One could be set specific goals, so that don't be too demanding. These need to be demanding yet acceptable to the staff member. If you pressurize the staff member too much, the person is going to be set and ready and prepared for failure to begin with, that you've given me so much. Even I know at the start that even if I try and work 20 times more than I can, I will not be able to deliver on it. So why even do this much? Then it is good to be involved with the staff in goal setting so that you get their informed acceptance and there is not resentment. Provide regular feedback in terms of improvements, etc. And consider job designs. Where can alterations be made? Where can something be more interesting? Sometimes people find the same role very mundane. They want a little bit of tweaking. They want some change. Otherwise, they end up quitting and moving to another project or moving to another organization. So these are little things in terms of sweeteners which can be given and which could go towards improving the motivation. To summarize, we have seen successful projects depend on how well a team works together. There are various ways in which on-location, off-location teams work proactively together. Communication, team-building activities, physical communication, virtual communications, other kind of communications, rewards, recognitions, trainings, all of these things are part of going towards making an effective and successful team. And that brings us to the end of team-building, collaboration and communication. Thank you.